Blog Talk Radio.
Some of the guests on this podcast will express their viewpoints based on their own research, and those views aren't necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Cursed Net, Breakthrough Radio, or its affiliates. This podcast will also be available on iTunes under the keyword Cursed Net.
Hello, everyone. My name is Byron LeBeau, and this is Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. Today's Monday, February 9th, 2009. Within the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, we are told to put on the whole armor of God, not some of the armor and not most of the armor. When we go into a battle, in our case, it's a spiritual battle, and we are contending against a very crafty and slick enemy, you can bet your bottom dollar that he will be looking for our most vulnerable part to attack. Our weakest link to snag. Our guest tonight will be exposing these weak and vulnerable links, although to some they may appear like mighty fine armor. Now, on December 22nd of last year, if you may recall, over these same airways, I had asked Lynn Marzulli to bring back with him the next time that he came. A person by the name of Lynn Dickey, since I thought that her story, as outlined in Marzulli's book called The Alien Interviews, closely mirrored the hooks and the baits, the seductions and the lures of the false New Age armor that were perpetrated against Miss Dickey herself. And coincidentally, the same Lynn Dickey had somehow contacted Joe Jordan. Well, Joe, this seems like a very small world indeed. Here you are, and here's Lynn Dickey, but there's no Lynn Marzulli. Maybe you can inform our listening audience what transpired from the last year to now that may account for this, and perhaps give a short intro about Lynn and her remarkable story. Welcome, Joe, to the program.
Thank you, Byron, for having us on again, and I think you're... listeners are going to be in for an exceptional story from Lynn tonight. When Lynn Marzulli was working on his book last year, he had been doing these interviews over his newsletter, and he had asked me to be involved in one of his interviews with his newsletter. And then he decided to put the newsletter's interviews together into a book that were called The Alien Interviews. And it's a fascinating piece of work where he takes a little bit from each person, from all aspects of the phenomenon, not just looking at it from one geared, focused area, but giving everybody an opportunity to speak. And then when he finally came out with the book, I saw this testimony in there, and it wasn't one of mine. And that was quite fascinating because here I was able to tell in my interview the work that I've been doing and being able to come across people that have been able to stop their experiences in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. But he didn't use any of my testimonies. The testimony that he used was Miss Lynn Dickey's. And that was a key important piece because a lot of the researchers that have been looking at the work that I have and the testimonies that I've been bringing forward, you know, they might have this impression that I'm kind of padding the evidence, being that I seem to be the only one that has these testimonies. But here, Lynn Dickey herself is one of these testimonies, and it's not one that I worked with. She did email me with her testimony, and I was able to correspond back and forth with email. I had a long talk with her just last evening a little bit, and I know you've talked with her quite a bit about her story. But I'm really honored to have her on and represent these testimonies that we're bringing forward, that this experience can be stopped in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, especially since she's coming from the outside of the work that I do. And I'm honored that we both had a chance to appear in the same book that Lynn Marzulli put together. And she has a really powerful story, and I think your listeners are going to be very pleased with this one.
Yes, I'm absolutely sure, because I had read the interview with Lynn Lynn. When I say Lynn, I mean Lynn Marzulli of Lynn Dickey, and I was personally taken with the story because of some of the things that had happened to me about setups and stings and things like that. And when I noticed that similar and even more dramatic things were happening to Lynn, I said to myself, I really need to talk to this woman in any way possible, hopefully to interview her. And I can recall also, Joe, you know, it's not just the people that you bring, although they're all very, very important as far as I'm concerned, but we also get other people that call into the program or email us and or have listened to us on the radio on other programs and eventually want to become part of doing what they can to bear witness to the truth. And we had a number of these people, and one actually made it to the air on an interview by a person by the name of Ed, who gave a very, very good interview regarding his own particular experience that kind of mirrors the things that happened to Joyce and the things that happened to Kathy and Nicole and what we're going to find out tonight, and Bill, too, for that matter, what we're going to find out tonight, the things that are that have happened to Lynn. So having said that, Lynn, I'd like to welcome you to Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. And something tells me that we are going to have a collective breakthrough tonight, perhaps. So what I'd like to do, Lynn, you can hear me okay, right?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. I'd like to start, Lynn, perhaps, if you can start off by just telling our listening audience just exactly how many aspects of the new age that you were in one time or another, dabbling in or exposed to in some way, shape, or form. I think that might be a good way to just paint the picture so people know where you were coming from at one point. Okay? Go ahead.
Okay. I was into all aspects of the New Age. I moved to Austin, Texas, and got in with the wrong people, so to speak. And they got me into learning how to be a psychic, they said I had a spiritual gift. They said I was very gifted as far as psychic and these type things. So I started taking classes on that, taking classes on how to be a medium, doing all these kinds of things. I started dowsing with a pendulum, talking to the other side with simple yes or no answers. So I opened the doors up really wide. Of course, you know, be careful what you ask for, because you will get it. Where it comes from the occult side, that is exactly how it is.
Right.
So I got into all these kind of things, really got into what the New Age calls spiritual. You know, that's what they call it nowadays, called spiritual. You know, and it is right. They try to borderline it and try to make you think that you're in some, you know, it's a religion, you know, and it has to do with God. And this is the way God has us and made us. And we've been hidden, you know, the knowledge has been hidden from us. And, you know, there's just a lot of different things. But I got into all these different things, reading tarot cards. The main thing was talking to the dead and dowsing with the pendulum.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious as you're going through this. When you say they, who are the they that we're talking about right now that are welcoming you into the New Age?
It was different people, and then it was spirits from the other side.
Okay. So in other words, when you say different people, these are actual people who are. What are they? Are they running different types of organizations or psychic parlors or things like that? How did you get introduced specifically into that?
Well, to tell you the truth, how it first started was long before I ever even started getting into the occult and doing any of these types of New Age things. My dad, which had died 15 years earlier, came to me in a dream and told me I was fixing to go through my enlightenment.
Right.
So the minute that happened, well, then I wanted to know what that was. You know, I guess just, that was the hook right there.
Oh,
because
I see.
I'm,
so in other words, right. Before you actually started to investigate psychics and mediums and the tarot cards, you had this experience with your now deceased father, and he came to you in a dream.
Uh-huh.
Did you say?
Yes.
And that dream was a very vivid dream, I guess.
It was a very vivid dream, and I usually don't remember my dreams. This was a little bit strange.
Yeah. As you look back at it now, would you still say that was a dream, or do you think something else was going on there?
I don't think it was a dream. I think it was a setup.
I
think it was a hook.
Oh, okay.
I think it's what got me into it. It's what, you know, the minute I had that, then I started asking questions, talking to people, mm-hmm. you know, and talked to this one nurse. She's the one that told me that I had extremely gifted was the word she used, and said that I had spirits around me. And I said, well, who's a psychic that I can go talk to? Because I'm going to find out what this enlightenment is. And sent me to a well-known psychic there in Austin.
Right. Okay. And then I assume that psychic indicated that you had even more gifts, and that carried you through even deeper into the rabbit hole. Would that be correct?
Exactly. He said...
Right.
Mm-hmm. He said that I was going to have a, that I would be talking to millions of people,
mm-hmm.
that I would be talking to a lot of people. You know, I seem to think that it was some kind of a standing up in front of somebody teaching or something. He told me I would be a teacher, that there would be a teacher come to me that taught me everything that I needed to know, and that... this was going to be a journey, that my spiritual
right.
journey had just begun.
Hmm. Okay, and they keep bringing this word spiritual up. When they talk about spiritual, how do they represent God in this particular dynamic?
Well, they say he's the source. They don't use the word God. You know, they use the source, the creator.
Mm-hmm.
These types
okay.
of things is the language
right.
that they use. You know, spiritual, they...
Did you ever hear the expression, the one, the one?
The one?
Yeah.
No, I never heard that. I heard that we're all one.
Okay.
You know, that we're all one.
Okay.
We're all connected and we're all one.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've heard takeoffs on this subject, I know somebody who said that he was taken to the one, and he described this being as an angel of light. Here we go again. And another one very cleverly was told they were being taken to an entity called Theon. And when I looked at Theon closely, I said, oh, wait a minute, Theon, that's the one. So I got the impression going back, you know, I had a number of friends of mine who were into, who were abducted, but also into the occult, that this, in fact, was one of the beings, the entities. You know, just like we have the entity Semjaza seems to keep popping up in the New Age literature. I noticed this in a few of the people that I had dealt with, so I was just curious about that aspect. Do they ever bring up the name of Jesus Christ? In this New Age genre?
Yes, the Jesus' name was Sananda. Sananda,
right. Mm-hmm.
And he was just one of the illuminated ones. You know, he was put in the same category as Buddha and all this, you know, all this. This didn't set well with me either, right from the very start.
Oh, okay. So even back then, when you were thinking that the New Age was going to be fascinating to learn about, and you still had a slight reservation because of the way they were postulating who Jesus was and where he stood in the realm of things.
Exactly.
Yeah. The I seem to recall that Sananda was the name that was bandied about in the Astar Command.
Uh-huh.
And of course, this, as anybody who does their research in New Age literature will know, harkens back to the ancient Babylonian gods that the Bible tells us and warns us about. That these names, the root of these names, are all interconnected, and that's why in today's world they use the expression the Ashtar Command.
Wow.
So, and Tex Mars makes a very interesting link about all of these things in his particular book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, which I would recommend people reading the book just to get a flavor for how words and phrases are used to homogenize the truth, because this seems to be what's going on with all of this stuff, that this is what they do. They hook you in, they call it spiritual, because it's anything but, and then they you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. By the way, when the psychic said that you were gifted, did this lead you into any particular discipline that you developed that would lead to healing and things like that? Anything along those lines?
Yes. Tell me that you know, I was very gifted and I started learning about the medium part, and another lady was put in my path that did Reiki, and that's about the time that I got my first Reiki treatment done. I had no idea what that was. No idea, but I let that be done to me. And it was different. And, you know, and I went back to the psychic guy a couple of more times. And there was, I won't say that. There were some things that happened that whenever the psychic said my dad came into the room, he did something that my dad would never do. And these are just all little signs and little
right.
flags, red flags,
yeah.
that what I was dealing with, I shouldn't have been dealing with. So I was warned plenty of times.
Right. In other words, yeah, little red flags come up, and yeah, I can see where the blinders can be on, though, when you're heavily ensconced in the New Age. And it happened myself when I'm seeing these things happening, and I'm just fascinated by all of these little paranormal events, and you know you're curious about things, and you want to get to the bottom of it, and you find yourself getting deeper and deeper into it. So I can totally understand that. Almost like you lose your rationale to a certain extent, you know. But, you know, I guess there are people listening to the program who are saying, well, what exactly is Reiki, that you learned? Lynn?
Yes, just kind of cut out there for a minute, sound like.
Yeah, okay.
Are you there?
I just wanted to, you know, yeah, I'm sure people are wondering what exactly this Reiki healing is all about.
Reiki healing is something that I'm trying to give you the exact definition. It's channeling the life force. And this guy was a doctor in the 1800s, or right at 1900.
Yeah.
His name was Dewey. And he figured out, he was trying to figure out a way that he could do healing without depleting his own energy. And so one time he was doing some healing work on somebody, and the energy evidently entered his crown chakra, the energy centers in your energy body. And so this energy entered there, and then it was just this miraculous healing, supposedly. So he was given this. And, you know, when I took the class, you know, I'm sure that I heard all that, but there was somehow that I just didn't comprehend what that was saying. Because when I think about it now, how did I ever get that deep into something like that, you know, taking the Reiki and, you know, I didn't become a master. I just got my Reiki practitioner's license, that's what it's called, and started doing the healing work. But a strange thing happened to me. I don't know if I even told you about this or not, but that's about the time when the beings started really talking to me. The first ones that talked to me were a group of beings by the name of Abraham. And Abraham was...
No.
Yeah, exactly. And
Abraham.
They taught me how to do this Reiki their way, the way they wanted it done. But they came to me saying, this is the way God wants it done. And that's what I was told. It wasn't the one or the creator or, you know, these different names that, the New Age tries to, you know, the supreme being. It was God. That's what they told me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had
remember
to,
Gary. I remember Gary Bates in The Alien Intrusion. He was going over this particular movie, Star Wars. And, you know, there's an expression in Star Wars, may the Force be with you. It's almost like they're taking that and they are spinning it to another whole level of understanding so that you actually believe that this is a spiritual force that's now with you, and you can go out and start healing people with the same force.
Exactly.
That's what it
sounds
like.
But I guess with everybody, they spin it a little bit different. With me, it was the energy of God coming through me to the person so the person could get the healing. That's how I was told about it.
Right. And cleverly using the name Abraham, boy, I tell you, that's like hitting below the belt. You know,
that's what they do. And there's a lady in San Antonio, Texas, that, she channels Abraham.
Unbelievable.
They have a thing called the Art of Attraction.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's leave Abraham aside for a second get to the point now. You're doing all of these different things, including Reiki healing. By the way, was the Reiki healing successful? Were you able to heal people using this technique?
Well, I'll tell you like this. Everything that was done to me, as far as being healed on me, was healed for a while. And then everything, like my eyesight, went 12 times worse than it was before. Now, a strange thing happened that I can't really explain. But when the people that I did this Reiki on, they were healed, and they're healed to this day. Now, you ask me that question, I'm telling you the truth, and no, I'm not saying that the dark forces or the demons or the spirit world healed anybody. But maybe these people really did need something. Maybe God worked through me somehow or didn't even use me at all.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to clarify that point, but let's get to the nitty-gritty here as far as communiques are concerned. When would you say, other than Abraham, okay, when did you receive your first voice communique from beyond, and where did that all lead to?
I was sitting outside, and I heard somebody say, "We are circling the planet." And I immediately said, "What?" And I heard it again. And I was like, "Who is this? You know, this sounds really strange. We are circling your planet. What does this mean?" And the first being that I talked to says, "Osiris." And he wasn't very nice, and I didn't talk to this being very long. And
Did you say Osiris, like in the Egyptian god Osiris?
Yes.
Okay, so they're going from Abraham to Osiris now.
They're not very... Right. Have no imagination, do they?
No.
So anyway...
It's not everybody you hear is named Osiris, you know? They always seem to have one name. They never have two names. It's always one name. But go ahead. Go ahead.
So he introduced this. So Osiris introduced me to who was going to be my teacher. It was somebody that was assigned to me. And his name was Nebu, N-E-B-U. And
Nebu?
Yes. And I talked with him for a long time. I asked tons of questions about the ship, about where they come from, you name it.
Where did they come from?
They said they were from Arcturus.
Arcturus? You mean the constellation?
Okay,
so they're not just from a planet, they're from a constellation.
Right.
See, I thought you were going to say Nibiru. Nebu from Nibiru.
Nope.
Did you ever hear of the planet Nibiru?
Yeah, that's what's going to come back around, supposedly. Some people think, isn't it?
Right. Right. This is in the writings of Zechariah Sitchin, and Nibiru is the Sumerian version of the planet Marduk. So these are all, and that's a Babylonian expression of Nibiru. But if you shorten Nibiru, guess what you get?
That's exactly right.
Nebu. So your friend, I know Joyce had a friend too, Lynn. Joyce had a friend who turned out not to be such a good friend. Now you have a friend by the name of Nebu who was introduced to you from Osiris while they're circling the planet. I've got this straight, the story, right?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Okay.
It's like something out of a sci-fi.
Well, yeah. Okay, all right. Now, but you know, as far as your mindset is concerned, you're in the New Age, and you think that you actually are getting these voice transmissions, and these people are being introduced to people. These entities are being introduced to you for a reason. What's the reason? What are they doing here?
Well, for a little while, they didn't tell me the actual reasons. We just kind of went along, and I learned, you know, different things about really occult stuff, you know, about their thoughts or things. You know, we create our reality. They created us. We were an experiment that went awry. You know, just lots and lots of things. And then the information started coming out. I started asking, like, you know, what's all this for? You know, what's my purpose? And he said, "Oh, you have a great purpose, you know." And I was like, okay, what is that? You know, just tell me what it is. And he said, "Well, we want you to image us, to take pictures of us and the craft, and we want you to tell the world that we're here. We've always been here. We're in the skies right now, but you can't see us, but we're there." And later on, some more information came out that people would be taken off of the earth in three different waves. And this was called the Ascension. And I learned about something about the pole shift, about this going to be happening. And what my part was in that, that I needed to tell people not to be scared when the sky was full of ships, that for people not to be afraid, that they're sent there by God, and they're there to pick them up and to take them off. If they have too much negativity, they're going to go to a mothership, which is 1/8 the size of this earth, and they will continue a life like they had on earth. And they probably wouldn't even be able to tell the difference that they would be doing it anywhere else. It would just seem like their regular life. And the other people, that their consciousness was raised to a certain level, then you would be going into a process of turning into your light body.
So there's three different types of people. And,
three different types of people, that's what they said. Yeah.
Yeah, and which type were you?
I was an alien soul, ET soul.
Okay.
And there was they said that everybody on the planet was either one of the three. You were either an angelic soul, and you'd always been an angel, and you came here for a human experience, or you're an ET soul, and you've never been anywhere, been on Earth. You'd always been everywhere else. And then there were human souls, Earth souls, and they had never been anywhere but here on Earth.
Okay, so they're saying to you, you're an ET soul, so does that mean that you're connected to them as an ET soul?
Well, that's what they said. Of course, you know, I mean, this is all a bunch
right.
of lies. It
yeah,
really
exactly.
is. I mean, it's a big, long
yeah.
hook. It's a big, long
right.
trap.
Yeah.
And it pulled me in there deeper and deeper and deeper.
Okay, now, at this point, are you still buying into the fact that, well, obviously they've given you jobs, and you're taking these jobs very seriously, right?
Yeah, very
like you have to take pictures. Now, you actually did go out and take pictures, right?
I took pictures every single night for almost 2 years, from dusk till about 12 o'clock at night, every single night,
mm-hmm.
without fail.
Holy mackerel. That's a lot of pictures, Lynn.
Yeah, it's a lot of pictures.
If this is your job and you're taking pictures for them, are they compensating you for this?
Compensating me?
I'm getting
sicker and sicker. I don't know if that's compensation or not.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Okay, so you have these 2 years of pictures, and you're supposed to use these pictures to show people. What are you picking up in the pictures? Are there ships?
It started out that I was told it was just holograms, and they had to have a light source to illuminate them. Now, I don't understand about all this. I never did.
Right.
But they could use the sun, the moon, or they could use like street lights. Specifically, street lights were a type of material somehow that they could be illuminated. So it started off just like orbs, these kind of things. Then it went to,
yeah.
it almost looked like little creatures, little things. You know, one time I took something, it looked like a little child's toy. You know, people see these pictures and say, that's just lens flare. And I said, well, if it's lens flare and you're taking with the same camera, why don't they look the same every time? You know, with the same camera at the same point, but they didn't, and they moved all around. And then it went to what was called rainbows, and they were these big, huge, they were the colors of the rainbow, and they would fan out, and then they would close down in different pictures. And this went on for a good year, I know. Another time in this 2006-2007, my roommate took a picture of me and standing over there at the back of a car is a 3-foot little being standing there.
Okay, now, you have these pictures. Is there any way you can validate that the pictures are real, or phony, Memorex, or was there any process you went through that if you showed these pictures to somebody that you could say that these are real pictures, these are not fake pictures, and you know what I'm saying?
Well, I never had. How did I go about validating them? I took some pictures.
How did you go about? Mm-hmm.
How did I go about what?
How did you go about saying that these aren't phony pictures? These are real pictures that I've taken, and you can see for yourself there are real beings on here or whatever. Did you get people who believed this?
Well, it was real strange. Some people could see these things. I did not see them in these pictures first. Somebody else saw each time. You know, the time that supposedly it's Nebu standing behind me. I didn't see that. That was pointed out to me. Somebody else saw it. When the one was standing at the back of the car, my roommate saw it. I didn't see it. But once I was shown that it was there, I could see it very clearly. And then there's three pictures in that set where it's standing behind that car. At the back of it, you can see, and there's this big, huge ball that's on the ground. Well, each picture is in different places. And the third one is over there by the car, and that thing's gone.
All right. And I just don't see how you're going to make a very big impact with these pictures where you can't even see what's on them yourself. You have to be shown them.
That's the only thing I didn't see. And I imagine if I looked at it real hard, but you have to understand, I was getting Reiki done twice a week at that time.
Yeah.
And my so-called vibration, I don't really know what that means, conscious level of whatever, was extremely high. And I had a lot of things going on in my head. I had a lot of people, I could hear people stop. You know, I was, as Lynn Marzulli says, I was demon possessed to the toenail and didn't even know it. And so I wasn't real observative.
Right.
You know.
Before we get to the turn of the screw here, I just want to ask you one question. You had mentioned at one point that somebody could actually see the pupil of your eye change shape. Is that true?
Yes. A friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, actually, that was with me this whole journey at work, two separate times, she saw my eyes go cat-like, you know, up and down. She said that I changed.
Mm.
And she was kind of freaked out about it.
Right. Oh, like a reptilian.
Right.
Like
and I was, and get this, you know what I thought? I thought, oh, great, my DNA is being changed. I'm being turned into my ET self.
Okay, so you still were into this hook, line, and sinker pretty much.
Big time.
So when your Christian friend was trying to point this out to you, you didn't look upon that at first as a bad thing. You thought that was a good thing.
Oh,
right?
Great.
Great.
Sure.
You're changing into an ET person.
Mm-hmm.
So they had you convinced that you were an ET person who was connected with these Arcturians. And, okay, now what gets you to change? You have a Christian friend. Is there anything dramatic that happened that you actually saw through this that you can tell maybe it was you have been taken for a ride, to say the least? What happened?
How did I come out? Well, I went to my friend that done the Reiki, and she was also a spiritual teacher, a life path coach, or whatever you want to call it. And she would channel information specific to me every time I went to see her, which was twice a week. And the information came through one time. ET souls and human souls do not go to the same heaven. and ET souls and the human souls don't have the same God.
Mm.
And that really took me back. So I told my Christian friend about this. You know, and she had, even though she was a Christian, I did Reiki on her. She levitated off the table. There's a lot of things happened. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it would take us hours to talk about everything that I went through, literally. I mean, hours, because, you know, it's a lot of stuff. But she looked at me when I told her this, and she had a strange look on her face, and she said, "Lynn, are you sure you're on the right side?" And I called her by name, and I said, "Yes, I'm doing God's work."
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me again. She said, "Lynn, are you sure you're on the right side?"
Mm-hmm.
And I defended it again, but I stopped and I thought. And then I guess that was God working on me for sure. That was Jesus definitely trying to wake me up. You know, I had somebody set me down with the Bible at work. And say, you know, you believe in reincarnation. You believe that this Bible is written by man. You know, it's not, God didn't have anything to do with it. You know, all these crazy things. And I just told her to put it up. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe the Bible, that all this knowledge had been hidden from us. And so all this stuff started flooding back to me whenever she asked me if I was on the right side. And I really broke down, you know. It was about a process of a couple of days where I was breaking down. I was breaking down and crying, and I was breaking down and getting down on my hands and knees. And
okay. And how long were you going through this before this Christian person tried to get you to see the true light? Was it a year, 2 years?
About 2.5 years, probably.
Okay, and so when did that all end? What year?
Let's see. I've been born again now about 11 months, 10 months,
okay.
Something like that. So it was in 2008, the beginning of 2008.
Beginning of 2008. Yeah, that's not that long ago.
No.
So about a year, roughly. But now, what happened? Or you know, obviously, it seems to me that they invested an awful lot of interest and time and effort into you and getting you to be, in effect, a PR person for their side. They're not going to take lightly the fact that you're spurning them now, turning in your ET card, so to speak. Has anything happened since you said no regarding all of this stuff?
Yeah, well, I dropped it all like a hot potato. You know, when I turned my life over to God, to Jesus Christ, and was born again, I mean, I dropped it all. There was, you know, it wasn't any where I sometimes talk to them. I had nothing to do with them. You know, I would say, "Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke you. Get out."
Okay.
So they, it was a real, they would come and get me every single night. Every single night. I would, get out of bed, and it's like I never had been there. My hair wouldn't be messed up. My bed wouldn't be warm. So I had they were grooming me for something. They said that I was, you know, I said in my intro there that something about a co-pilot, you know, piloting a ship with my mind. Stuff just sounds so crazy. But yeah, they came after me. They came after me. They, I never had had any, waking up paralyzed before, never had any bad experiences with these things. Even Lynn Marzulli will say it.
Yeah, so therefore, if that's the case, then you wouldn't be described as a quote-unquote abductee. You would be described literally as a contactee who had good experiences because they were training you to do certain things, including being a co-pilot. Why were you being trained to be a co-pilot? What were you going to do?
Well, that was kind of the, that was another thing. I never did quite understand it, but supposedly, like I said, everybody was going to be leaving on these ships and be taken off the Earth before the pole shift 2012. And it was a lot around 2012 that I was taught about. You know, I was supposed to die. You know, I was going to be leaving this physical Earth and leaving this physical body and dying.
Right.
You know, and guess what I would be saying whenever they would say this? I said, have you checked with God to make sure this is okay? This is what I would say to them.
Right.
And they go, oh, yes, it's okay. This, these orders come straight from God. So they did a lot of, they did a lot of grooming, a lot of twisting the truth to try to keep me entangled in their snare. But when it all came unwound, then they started paralyzing me and trying to physically take me out of my house.
Okay, so in other words, they became no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Right.
At one point. Now, how did you go about resisting them? Or you know, did you use the name of Jesus? Or, you know, dramatize exactly what you did to let them know that you're not going to take this anymore?
Well, the first time it happened, I had no idea what was happening. I felt like I had 1,000 arms all over me. I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I couldn't even move my mouth. And I was, it seemed like a dream. I seemed like I was half asleep. But from the bottom of my soul, I broke through their paralyzation of my mouth. And I said, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I said it 2 or 3 times. And I woke myself up screaming it.
Wow. And they left at that point?
Immediately. Immediately. You're talking about somebody taking their hands off of you. They will skedaddle. I mean,
now,
it's not something that's slow either. Byron, I mean, it's something that's instant. You just feel it melting away like it wasn't even there.
Now, did this take place in the beginning of 2008? Is that when you told them to literally skedaddle in the name of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. That's when it all started. That's when all that started happening.
When you told them to get lost, in effect, spiritually get lost, did they ever come back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they came back. I had the next time they came back, they pulled me out of my body, and I didn't go anywhere. And I knew that I was protected. I knew that Jesus was right there. I knew the angels were right there protecting me. And I just didn't go anywhere. You know, they tried to do this, just didn't go anywhere, but just right there. I mean, I was, I'll explain that a little bit. In 2001, after I stopped drinking, was the first time I ever left my body, ever. And it happened. It freaked me out. I had no idea what was going on. It just spontaneously happened. And then I started researching and trying to find out what this was, found out it was astral projection, started asking people, you know, what about people that, you know, can do this, you know, on demand or whatever, because I could. And whenever I got into the occult, then I really started doing that a lot, all the time. I would just lay down and say, okay, I'm going to practice. And I was told to practice. I was told to practice going through the walls and through the windows and through the headboard and up as high as you could go. And, you know, I did all that stuff. I opened all these doors myself.
And you did it as an out-of-body experience, right?
Right, that's what I was doing.
Astral projection, out-of-body experience. And they were teaching you how to do all of these things with your permission. You're allowing it to happen because you think it's part of what you need to do anyway. It's part of, as part of the their particular function and job that they have for you, right?
Right. And I forgot one part of it. The Arcturian part of it kind of that kind of started souring with me a little bit. And then the next thing was, well, we're really God's angels.
Right.
It was my Christian friend that it was talking to me and about things and different things, levitating off the table, different things like that. You know, she saw that as that's not good. And
right.
And there were some other instances of some other things that was happening. You know, she
right.
met my mentor, and all she felt was evil from this person. I couldn't believe
gotcha.
What she was telling me.
Now, this Christian friend was a very good friend of yours, that you implicitly believed that what she was telling you was the truth, right?
Yes, and she still is.
So, right, so then you took it, whatever she said, to heart, and then you started to really see, because she was able to point certain things out to you that weren't really adding up. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, Lynn, listen, we're getting down to the last 10 minutes, and I want to give you some time to just talk about some of the things that you feel are important. But before I do, I'd just like to mention two quick announcements. Okay, first of all, on Tuesday, tomorrow night, Nova is allegedly airing the creationist alternative theory to Darwin's theory of evolution. So if you see it, especially through Christian eyes, and are puzzled about anything that they may mention, I'd ask you to please go to my webpage. It's called Personality Beyond Darwin on my website, inspectorblebeau.pbwiki.com, regarding two must-see DVDs, which if they don't bring it up, and I don't think they're going to, you need to see these things as far as another trap about evolution is concerned. And secondly, on the same website, I just posted Lynn's heartfelt testimonial. It's called Testimony of Lynn Dickey Regarding the Power of Jesus. And I must say, it's a three-paragraph testimonial that kind of summarizes what she was talking about tonight, but it's very powerful, and I recommend that you take a look at that when you get a chance. Okay, well, Lynn, in the remaining time, we've got about 8 minutes or so. I'd like you, during the remaining time, if you could just mention a few ideas, perhaps, that you may either not have talked about or you'd like to expound on a little bit for our listening audience. So,
Byron?
Yes, Joe.
I got a question for her, and I'd like to get her to elaborate a little bit on, you know, she's discussed
sure.
throughout the testimony on how they seduced her with all the different ways to keep her hooked, hook, line, and sinker, as she said. And
mm-hmm.
I know from my experience, and you know from your experience, that you feel so elated to be part of this when you're in the New Age. You feel like they've made you somebody special, and you are somebody special, and there's a feeling that comes with that. What I'd like her to share with your listeners is the difference in how she feels now being born again and having Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior compared to how they had her feeling when she was under their spell.
Oh, that's very good, Joe. I like that. Okay. All right, Lynn, go ahead. That's an excellent question. An emotional state has an awful lot to do with this. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's beyond even words that I can even hardly put into words, but I'll give it a shot. I feel empowered beyond belief, beyond this physical body, that somebody could kill my physical body, but they can't do anything to my soul, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The beings, they try to make you feel special. You know, they tell you that you belong to this long name of the Intergalactic Council or Confederation of Man. You know, what is that? But they try to make you feel so, but you're empty inside, and you just get sicker and sicker and sicker, and you start getting pale, and people start asking me, like, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you looking like this? Why do you look like you're walking dead? You know, I was almost transparent skin. it was horrible. But the way I feel now is totally empowered, that nothing can touch me, that nothing can stop me, that I'm just loved beyond belief. I'm very emotional right now. I'm sorry, but
right. Well, I'm sure that you'll have some people out there thinking about that. And is there any advice that you would give anybody who's listening to this who went down some of the paths or may still be going down some of the paths that you went down in the New Age? What would you say to them?
Get out. And get out now. And turn your life over to Jesus. Because if you don't, I'm really going to go to hell. I don't know the word to say it. If I was to die 2 years ago, I went straight to hell. And I have no doubt in that. And I've heard a lot of people say, and I said it myself, God would never send anybody to hell. Yes, he will. He would have sent me. He will send you. And dabbling in the occult and opening these doors, they'll never close. So if you're into something like this, you better be realizing that it's with you forever. You have to do spiritual warfare every night before you go to bed. And these doors, this veil has been removed that somebody that doesn't dabble with any of this stuff. And you can get into the occult with just reading your horoscope. You know, studying the stars and the moon, anything like that, anything that you worship. Anything that you put over and above the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is, you're idolizing something. And that means a cross, a Bible, anything.
Sure. I remember very specifically when Richard Stout was sending me the notes that became first The Bite of the Serpent and then our book, The Cursed Net. While I was translating his notes into book form, I was also reading the book of Deuteronomy, which is not anything that he quoted from, and there smack in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4, I'll never forget this, it says, "And do not honor the moon, the sun, or any star." And one of our chapters has to do with astrology, because again, what is astrology? It's trying to give honor to the very things that God made, but these beings, these fallen angels and demons, are trying to make it look like they are the ones that are to be bowed down to. So it completely twists around the whole intent of the first commandment of God. So anybody who adheres to things other than what God says as the first commandment, "I am the Lord thy God, I won't have any strange gods before me." So anybody who is bowing down to these strange gods, which seems to me does include anything that's of an occult nature, because you're giving honor to something other than what God would want you to, that's a no-no. So I can understand why you would say that.
And another piece of advice that we would like to share with people is, you know, she talks about talking to all these different spirits that were communicating with her, but she never talked about testing the spirits, which we are called to do. And when she finally tested the spirits, they responded in a very negative way, which gave away who they are. And that's something that we ask people to do. Just test the spirits that you're working with, and you'll see who they are. They have to show their face.
That's right. And that advice, of course, comes directly from John the Divine in his letter. First letter, I think it's chapter 4. It's very specific. It's very clear. It's just like what Jesus says. You know a tree by its fruit. Well, we don't know these spirits, but we do know they are operating in and around the planet Earth. And if you are confronted by one, there are ways of testing the spirit to see if, in fact, they are of God or not. And most of the time, unfortunately, we are going to find that they're not. This is what all these false religions are all about, and they fall under facades. And these facades are very clever. That's why they can fool many, many people. So, I think I hear that music. Well, you know what that means, Joe. I'm going to just like to say, in closing, from Psalm 119, verse 71, by the way, quote, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." This is Byron LeBeau. Good night, Joe.
Good night, Byron.
Thank you.
And good night, Lynn, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and everyone out there, may your evening be peaceful and the morrow fruitful. Good night, all.